All right, take your Bible this morning. And it's good to be in the house of God. It's always good. And it just seems really good to be here this morning. It's just a place of preached about last Sunday night. My week is totally messed up with the flu. I lost 2 days in the body, out of the body. I can't not tell, man. I was so sick. But last Sunday night, I preached about how to survive the cold. And one of the ways you survive is you get a shelter, amen? And it's good to be in the shelter, and the house of God is a shelter. It's just good to be in the house of God. It just feels good. I love church. I don't understand Christians that don't love church. There's just something wrong. I wasn't a church person, wasn't raised in church. I've been 2 times my whole life where I got saved, but I've been in ever since for 42 years. And I love it. I love it. Love to be here. Can't wait Friday night. I was telling you about down in Tuscaloosa. Just can't wait. I love it. And I'm gonna try to stay up here a little bit more today because I've had the flu, and so I'm trying to give you guys a little room. So if I get too close, y'all start doing something, throw something. But I'm not a pulpit guy, but I'm gonna try to stay a little bit more up here this morning. John chapter 14. Everybody knows this verse. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1 says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That's a great verse. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. They've said about John 3:16, they said John 3:16 is called the gospel in a nutshell. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I would say about John 14:1, I would say John 14:1 is the comfort and the healing and the peace of a Christian in a nutshell. It's only 14 words in John chapter 14:1, but you know the Lord don't have to have a lot of words to speak to us. Amen. It's just 14 simple words, and it said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I mean, that's some good stuff right there. And you know, God, when He gives us something, John 14:1 is something everybody in this building needs this morning.
That's right.
Every Christian, now this won't work for a lost person, obviously, but every Christian needs John 14:1 in their life. You may need it right now, you may not need it right now, but there's going to come some times when you're going to need, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Brother, there's a lot of good stuff in that verse. And I just want to give you a few things about it, because every one of us this morning, you're either going to be in it, you're in it right now, you're in troubles, you're in turmoil, you're in the tears, you're in the problems, the things in life are going to come along. As Job said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." It said in Job, it said, man is born of trouble. We just go through it. And that's what's going to happen. And we need that verse, "Let not your heart be troubled." And that's a comforting verse from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to give you a few things, just expound just a few minutes on this verse this morning. And I'm going to ask Brother Brian, take us to the Lord in prayer before the message. Amen. 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 The Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I want to just give you a few things about that verse. I would like to say the first thing I see there is a concern the Lord has. Notice what it says. Notice that word. It said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He didn't say, "Let not the church's heart be troubled," did he? He didn't say, "Oh, let not the Republican's heart or the Democrat or America." You know what God is concerned about this morning? He is concerned about you this morning. There's a concern. Let not your heart be troubled. You say, well, preacher, I'm just this little old pipsqueak from Alabama. I'm sitting in an ocean of 7 billion people. I'm just trying to survive. I say, I just don't have a whole lot. You mean God is interested and concerned about me? Yes, sir, He's concerned about you. Yes, ma'am, He is concerned about you this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen, it's hard to comprehend the Lord. It's hard to comprehend all the people in the world, 7 billion people, and to think that God is zeroed in and He is concerned about me. But He is. You look out and go outside and look outside and out that world and see a beautiful world. And you see the birds out there, and like Brother Jeff mentioned about those doves, that was pretty amazing. They let those doves go, and one of them they let go late. And they won't leave till that other one catches up with them. Then they take off. That's pretty good stuff. I mean, God's able to teach those doves and teach the animals and make the world. Hey, God's powerful enough, friend, to know all about you and be concerned about the things in your life. There's the concern. Let not your heart be troubled. That big, amazing, all-powerful, all-knowing God, you know what? He's concerned about you, my friend, this morning. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 12. Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 12. Brother, I got a God this morning that's concerned about everything in my life. I had a Christian call me this week and having some things in her life. And I mean from a life standpoint, it wasn't that big a deal. It was trivial. And they told me, and they said, Brother Terry, don't send it out over the thing, because I don't really want everybody to have to pray about it, because it's not that big a deal. And I said, listen, if it's a big deal to you, it's a big deal to God. It may be little to the world, but if it's big to you, that God is concerned about you. If it's bothering you, it ought to bother Him. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. God is concerned about me and you this morning. Thank God. We have a God. Look at Matthew chapter 10. And I'm getting here. I got it down, but I want to read it with you. My wife sometimes says, you're reading the wrong verses. So I make sure I don't think I am, but Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you're more valuable than the many sparrows. You know what a farthing is? It's about 1/4 of a penny. It means nothing. Webster's dictionary says the 1/4 of a penny, a small coin of very little, very small price or value. It is a saying, it is not worth a farthing. And God says over there, don't you know two sparrows? That's how useless and worthless they are. Two of them can be sold for a farthing. But I'm going to tell you, He said if one of them falls down to the ground, I know all about it. God is concerned about the sparrow. And He said, no, you're not. You're more valuable than that sparrow. And He said, no, you're not. That the very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows that much about you. He is concerned about you this morning. Turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Sometimes, you know, we get kind of lost in the crowd. We get kind of lost and lonely in the crowd, this big old world. I like a little church. That's one good thing about having a small church. You don't get lost in here. We know all about you. It's like a family. You get in a big church in there, they don't know if you're here or not. We know when you're not here. They don't know a whole lot about you. You're just an ocean. And it's that way a lot of times with Christians in the world. And we think, well, maybe God's just forgot about me. Hey, my brother, my sister, He is not forgotten. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Watch this. And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear they're not, therefore you are more valuable than many sparrows. God said to the 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, they're useless to the world. But it said God has not forgotten that little sparrow. I want to tell you this morning, my friend, God has not forgotten you. Let not your heart be troubled. There's the concern he has. David Peacock's got a great message. I think I got some copies of it back there. And it's titled, He Will Not Forget. He talks about, I've given it to you before, there where Peter left the Lord. And yet when Jesus rose again, he told him, he said, you go tell the disciples. And Peter, he hadn't forgot about Peter. He hadn't forgot about you this morning, friend. You say, hey, I'm no Peter though. Hey, I'm just a little nobody. I'm not a Tommy Tillman. I'm not a great missionary. I hadn't done what Earl Ankrum. I hadn't spent 20 years on the road. I hadn't done a... Hey, I'm just a sparrow. God hadn't forgotten about the sparrow, my friend. There's the concern he has. Let not your heart be troubled. I gave the illustration a while back about a lady named Ethel Waters. Ethel Waters was a black lady. She was born in October the 31st, Halloween, 1900. What a fateful day to belong, because her life was nothing but a horror most of her life. Her mother was raped. That's how she was conceived, by a man. And Ethel Waters was conceived when her mother was 12 years old. She was raped at the time. And her mother gave birth to her. Ethel was sent to live with physically abused relatives. They were poor and they mistreated and abused. Most of her life she spent wild, stealing and trying to survive. When she was only 12 years old, her mother forced her to marry a much older man who was very abusive with her, and he ran off. Ethel Waters was an unloved, unwanted, forgotten soul in this world. And that lady came to know Jesus Christ, the only person, only one in this world that hadn't forgotten about her was the Lord Jesus Christ. And she got saved. She used to get on the Billy Graham crusade and give her testimony. I've heard her give it. You know what the song she used to sing on there? It was the same as for her. His eyes on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. You know what happens most of the time, friend? It's not that God forgets about us. A lot of times we forget about Him. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4. She's not bothering me, by the way. I wish more of you get up here and do that, by the way. Get a bottle and come up here. She is coming to altar and I ain't even got started. Amen. I plead and beg you guys, can't get you down here. Maybe I need to get some bottles up here for you. Hey, we're loaded up here, man. We got baby rattlers and all of it. Pacifiers. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 4. Romans 8, Galatians chapter 4. You see, God hadn't forgotten about us. We forget about Him most of the time. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says this. Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby, watch it, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth with us, our spirit, that we are the children of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Notice what it said. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I've told you before that Abba is a baby word. It's a polyphonic word. It's like Papa. It's like Dada. It's that word of a small child calling out to their fathers what it is. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, heir of God through Christ. It says, whereby, it doesn't say whereby we say, Abba. It says we cry, Abba. Yeah. That we're crying.
Amen.
out, Abba. Amen. Brother, that you got to remember, brother, when you think about God, if you're saved, you are His child right now.
Amen.
And just like you love that little child of yours, brother, when that child calls out your name, that grandson, brother, I'm in it, man. My little old grandson, Emmett, when I was down there with him, and he called me Papa, and I told you how I'd lay him in bed at night and put him to sleep, and he'd wake up sometimes, and I'd hear him cry, and he'd go, Papa, Papa. Brother, I'm telling you, I'm in that room about 50 feet away in one step. I'm that quick. You know what? God is the same way, brother. You are His child, and He loves you more than I love my grandchildren. And brother, He knows you, and He's concerned about you this morning. He hadn't forgotten you. He's waiting to hear from us all the time. Take your Bible, turn over to Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18. Let not your heart be troubled. There's the concern the Lord's got for me and you. Let not your heart. He's concerned about you this morning. He's concerned about me this morning. It may be big, it may be little, but He's your Father, and He loves you. And the Bible said, whereby we cry. We just don't say, Abba, Father. Yes, brother, we're desperate. Just like my little grandson. Genesis chapter 18. Everybody's familiar with Genesis 18. There's a Sarah. God tells her she's 90 years old and she's going to have a baby. Kind of hard to fathom there. In Genesis 18:1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door of the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him and ran to meet him from the tent door. And so, come down to verse number. Jump down to verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certain. Notice what it said, verse 1. No, the Lord appeared unto him. This is the Lord talking. And he said, verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And Abraham was there, was old and well stricken. Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90. We're old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Talking about Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abraham, therefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14 says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, sometimes in life it just looks like it's impossible to get through it, doesn't it? I mean, God came to Sarah, she is 90 years old, Abraham 99, and God said, I'm going to give you a son. And Sarah laughed and thought, well, this is not possible. You know, sometimes we get away from the Lord, and God said, let not your heart be troubled, and God is concerned about us. But when we look at the obstacles and the circumstances, we think God Himself cannot even fix this. That's where Sarah was. And she laughed within herself, how in the world can I have a baby? I'm old, my husband's old and waxing. And God says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You see, my friend, God's concerned about you. And there's nothing He can't fix. There's the concern He had. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I want to say the second thing I see there with the Lord, there's the compassion He has. Notice what He says. Let not your heart. He didn't say, now let your head be troubled. You know, the problem's not the head. We can deal with those kind of things. The problem we have is when it gets down to the heart. That's what hurts the most. That's the thing that God deals with, and that's where He works His best work, when He deals with the heart. Take your Bible, turn it to Psalms 34 and Psalms 51. I mean, there is only so much you and I can do. I tell people, you know, I get calls all the time. I talk with a lady about an hour a week before it lasts on some things. Lady doesn't go to this church, and I just talk with her, and she cried and things she's going through and all this kind of stuff. And I said, lady, I can't do anything but pray for you. But you know what I could do? I could listen to her. That's all sometimes. People say, what can I do for me? What can I do? I say, pray. You know what? But God can do so much more. God works in the heart. Look at Psalms 34, verse 18. There's the compassion of the Lord. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Psalms 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh. The word nigh means close. He's close. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. God knows the heart. Oh, there in Samuel it said, when they came before him, it said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. I mean, there's only one in this universe that can deal with the heart, and that's the Lord God. That song they sing, I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel that no one loves you and your life is out of hand, hallelujah! I know a man that can. Look at Psalms 51. The Lord is nigh to them that are broken heart. I see the compassion in that verse. I see the concern He has. Let not your heart be troubled. But I see that compassion, that heart that God's interested in. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, well, I will not despise. God knows about the heart. First, it says over in 1 Samuel, it says, the Lord runneth all throughout the house, Lord, oh earth, looking for those He can bless. I like the meaning of that word compassion. I'm a word guy. And the word passion means a powerful and compelling emotion. The things you love, the things that's dearest to you is that passion. Acts 1:3, they talk about the movie, The Passion of Christ. There was the crucifixion. Acts 1:3, it said, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion. That word, that C-O-M, come, passion, when you put that C-O-M, it means together, it means with. It's our word for come, that's what it means. And that word companion, like the word companion, it means someone that shares and cares and spends their time with you. And that word compassion, what it means, it's someone that'll share the pain and the heartache with you. And the Lord has compassion for you and I. Let not your heart be troubled. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15 says this. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like tempted like as we are. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows all about us. And the next verse says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That's prayer. You know why we can come boldly to the throne of grace? Because Jesus Christ knows all about it. He knows the pains we went through. He knows the temptations. He walked through it. And the Lord moved with compassion. All throughout the Bible you read that. Matthew 9:36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed them. Take your Bible, turn on Mark chapter 1 real quick. I want to tell you, brother, He's concerned about you this morning. He's concerned about you, sister. And I'll tell you something else. There's the concern, but there's that compassion Jesus Christ has. He knows that heart. Let not your heart be troubled. He knows that heart. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 verse 40 says this. Mark 1:40. I think of Brother Tommy Tillman about this one. Mark 1:40, and there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him. And leper is the most contagious disease in the world. And kneeling down to Him, saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Mark 1:40. Watch this. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him. You say, what's significant about it? Hey, I was a leper. Jesus didn't have to touch him, Miss Liz. Many times in the Bible it said Jesus just spoke forth the word. But brother, when it came to that leper, He wanted to show that leper that compassion that he had. Many times I pray, a lot of time, Brother Chris, I think mentioned in the prayer, Lord, they need a touch. Touch them, Lord! Touch them! All throughout the Bible I read where Jesus touches them. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Mark 8:3, and Jesus poured forth His hand and touched them. Mark 8:15, and He touched their head over and over and over. You say, what is that? That's that compassion of the Lord. He reaches out and touches my, like that brother Tommy Tillman talks about that leper. You've heard it and you read it in his book. How he went to that leper and that leper was on the street. Nose eaten off, fingers eaten off, disfigured. And that leper looked at brother Tillman when he was trying to give him the track and things. And that leper said, all you Christian do is try to give us some. You won't come to our house. You won't eat with us. Remember that? And he said, brother Tillman went to that house and ate with him. And he reached down there that day. He went to that house and that leper took those old bony fingers, what was left. And he took that food out and put it on a plate. And Tommy Tillman sat there and ate that food with that leper. And you remember how he said that leper, wherever he went, that leper followed him around. Said, preacher, I'll follow you wherever go. I love you. You didn't just show me the love of, you didn't just tell me, but you showed me the love of Christ. You know what Jesus did? He showed him the compassion. There's the concern he's got. There's the compassion he has for you and I. Not only that, I see the concern. And I see the compassion. I see something else in that verse. I see the comfort from the Lord. It said, let not your heart be troubled. Trouble there, it's where. Take your Bible, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and go to John 14. 2 Corinthians 1 and John 14. There's the comfort. There's the concern the Lord's got. Let not your heart be troubled. There's the compassion He's got. But there's the comfort Jesus Christ has for you and I. I love this verse. I almost preached on this morning. I got a message. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 says this. This is a great verse. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You know, I looked in my Bible and there are many titles and attributes given to the Lord God. There are 494 times I did a search in the King James Bible and you can find that phrase, God of. There's the God of creation, the God of heaven, the God of earth, the God of the Jews, the God of Abraham, and so. But I want to say also, He is the God of all comfort. He's not just a resource. He's not just a help in comfort. But He is the God of all comfort. You know what that tells me, brother? There is nothing any one of us could go through, how dark, how deep, how desperate, that the God of all comfort can comfort you and I. The God of all comfort. There's nothing, brethren, that God can't comfort us through. Take your Bible, turn over to John 14. You know, when God got ready, the Lord Jesus Christ got ready to leave this earth, you know, He left with us. You know what we need more than anything? Look at John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. There's the comfort Jesus Christ has for you and I. Boy, those are tender words. I was studying this message when I was working this message up, Brother Brian, and I could just see the Lord talking to them, so comforting, and talking to those disciples. They were troubled. You know how they were. They were like us. They were always in trouble. And I could just see Him so kind and tender saying, let not your heart be troubled. Tears in His eyes. You believe in God, believe also in Me. There's the comfort He had. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. Jesus Christ says this, I will pray the Father and He shall send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but He shall know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and He shall be in you. Who said? The Comforter is come! The Comforter is come! The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter is come. Brother, when God got ready to leave, He said, I'll send you another one. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. Woo! Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He doesn't just comfort, brother. He is the Comforter personified. That's what He does the best. John 15:26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father." John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me to go away. If I know not a way, the Comforter will not come." Woo! And I tell you something, brother, I need that comfort. I don't know about you, man. I'm as weak as they come. I need that comforter. Brother, I like that word comforter. In our house, we got what we call some comforters. They're not blankets. You got blankets. Then you got those comforters about that thick. And when you got the flu, Miss Tara, like the other day, man, it's good to just climb in that old comforter and just kind of melt, brother. And just melt. And sometimes when you get the spiritual flu of this world, and brother, things just going through, the Holy Ghost of God just gets in there and wraps around you like that comforter. And boy, that peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And brother, we need that comforter. There are things in life, brother, that just, there's no other explanation. And only God to get you through it. We had a good friend of ours, Robbie Chancey and Kathy Chancey. They're really good friends of ours. They went to Bible school with us. And Brother Robbie, he's from Birmingham. He went to Inslee High School. He knew my, a few years older than me. And he was a missionary to Ireland, him and his wife, Kathy, and had two kids. Leith, what's her name? Brad and one of them, Katie. And really great family. And he was a missionary for quite a few years to Ireland. We were real close to him, good friends of ours, and went to Bible school down there with us. And I was going out to Glory Land Baptist years ago, been probably 20 years ago maybe, I guess, or something like that, quite a few years ago. And I walked in the building that Sunday morning, you know, before we went. And I went in there Sunday morning, and everybody's in there. A lot of them were crying, weeping. And I saw Brother Vernon Hansen, a friend of mine there, one of the guys. And I went and asked Brother Vernon. I said, "Brother Vernon, what's going on? What's happening?" He said, "Brother Terry, I don't know, you know, but Kathy Chancey passed away last night." I said, "What?" I said, because we were with them, I think, that week. But Robbie and Kathy, and I said, that can't be, Brother Vernon. I was, we were just with her. And Kathy Chancey was one of the most healthiest person you ever known in your whole life. I mean, she looked like a model. She was unbelievable. I mean, it was unbelievable. You walk in that day, and Brother Robbie that night, Saturday night, about 9 o'clock, she had a bad back pain. He took her to the emergency room at UAB. At 9 o'clock, he took her in the emergency room. About 12 o'clock, they came out and they asked him, they wanted to know who was her cancer doctor. And Brother Robbie said, "You must have the wrong person. My wife don't have cancer." And they said, "Your wife is eat up with cancer. She had some pain problems. She'd been going to chiropractors and doctors. Nobody got it." At 1 o'clock that morning, God took her home that quick. And I'll never forget it. Went to the visitation a few days later there. They had it at Glory Land Baptist and the casket there and everything. And I'll never forget as long as I live. God gives you nuggets along the way. And this was one He gave me. And Brother Robbie was there. And I went up there, you know, and shook his hand, hugged his neck. And I'll never forget what he told me, Brother Chris. It's what he told me. He said, "Brother Terry," he said, "when you preach and you talk to them about the Lord, you can tell them this, that His grace is sufficient." He said, "Even through something like this," he said, "I can tell you," and he said, "you preach it, brother, 100%, because His grace is sufficient." There's the comfort from the Lord. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I'm going to say there's the concern He's got. Let not your heart. There's the compassion He's got. There's that comfort He's got. I want to give you one more thing this morning real quick. And I want to say there's the care the Lord's got for you and I. You know what? God cares about us. He's concerned about us. He's got the compassion for us. He comforts us, but He has a care. Look at the last part of that verse. I love what this says. You know, the Lord challenges us. I like that. He challenges us all through the Bible. And that's why I love to preach the Word of God. That's why I love, I can, wherever I go, because I know without a doubt, God will keep His part of the deal. That's why I told Brother Don I love to preach a Christian funeral, because I know where they're at. I know what God said. I know He'll keep His part of the deal. I'm not worried about it. And He challenges us. That last part of the verse, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You know what Jesus Christ says? Believe in me and I'll take care of this. That's what he's saying. He's challenging the Christian. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, let me take care of this. I can handle this. You and I can't handle it. We can't handle things. I can't handle anything. But I'm going to tell you, he can handle it. And when we get right down to it, brethren, I'm going to tell you, that's all we got, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we got. I mean, you want the government to handle it? They can't even keep it running.
Amen, brother.
I mean, you want science to handle it? You want medicine? You want man to handle it? Listen, there's only one that you can trust and say, okay, Lord, you handle this. I can't take it. He says, thank you. I'll take that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? He's saying, believe also in me. Let me try it. Let me handle this. I can take care of it. You and I can't. I love that verse. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a verse. That song we sing and here, where could I go but to the Lord? Living below this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's sword, where could I go but to the Lord? There is no other place. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus Christ saying, give me a shot. That's what he challenges. It's like Psalm 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God says, give me a shot. There's the concern he's got for me and you, friend. Let not your heart. There's that compassion in your heart. He knows all about the heart. He knows it. There's nobody in this earth going to help you like God. There's nobody can grab hold of that, get down to that heart, but God. There's nobody that has the compassion like God. He's your Father. And I tell you one thing, I'd do anything for my kids and my grandkids. Man, I love them so much. And God loves me 10 million times more than that. And I know it because the book says it. And I know I've been through it. And there's a care he has. Things will go through life. And the only thing we got is believe also in me. I've seen a lot of tragedies in my lifetime and seen a lot of things and seen God do amazing things as a Christian and seen in people. Probably one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen God do was years ago. I used to do a lot of woodworking back years, about 25 years ago, and the only place you could do had any real woodworking tools, and the Woodworkers Guild would meet. There's a place in Alena called Acton Moden. And I'd go down there about once a month on lunch, whatever, and the manager was a guy named John Kitts, run the place, really nice guy. He and I had kind of a bond in the woodworking. We both liked to build machines. He didn't really like to build furniture. I wouldn't that much. I liked to build bandsaws and machines and guitars, something you could do with. And he and I had a kind of a bond. Got to be pretty good friends. And I called him up one day, and I was heading down there, and I called him up on the phone, and I said, John, I said, I was coming down there so-and-so, and I said, you been building anything lately? He said, no, I hadn't really had time, Terry, to build anything lately. I said, oh, you've been busy? He said, well, he said, my little boy's been in the hospital. And I said, man, what happened? I said, I pray that he's okay. And he said, well, he passed away in the hospital. I said, what? I said, how old was he, John? He said, he was 5 years old. His name was Jimmy. And he didn't tell me a story. And the thing is, that wasn't their first child. They had another child named Johnny. And Johnny had the same disease. It was a very rare disease, very hardly ever anybody catches it. And God took him home at the age of 5'2". And they prayed about having another child. It tore them up so much that God took that first child home. He was telling me his wife and him prayed about it. And they were Christians and God told them it'll be okay. And he said they had that other child and God took him home. There was only two kids they had. And this is what he told me. I'll never forget this. And he said, Terry, the last words my little boy told me, he said he lay up in that hospital. And he said, the last words he looked at me, he said, I was crying and we was crying and they told us he was about ready to go. And he said, my little boy looked at me and said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He told me, he said, brother, my son didn't know that verse. He said, that was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking right through my son. And I never forget it. He told me, I've got that verse on my desk. He said, my wife's got it on her purse. I got it in the bathroom. I got it on every wall in the house. He said, because that is all I've got to hold on to. Is that right there? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Let's bow our heads for prayer a little bit this morning. Give you some time here this morning. You know, come forward or whatever God has for you this morning. Just pray God speak to you. What a blessing to know the Lord. What a blessing to be saved this morning. I'm going to ask my wife just to come play something for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes. Give you a few minutes here. If you need to come talk to the Lord, the altar's here. God's so good, brethren. We love you so much this morning, God, and we know, Lord, you love us with a love that we can't comprehend. It's beyond our comprehension to even think about how great it is, Lord. And sometimes, God, that we can't understand it, we need it, Lord, like that verse, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. And Lord, we just pray for our brother Don, Lord, and Dalton and his family and during this time, God. And we know, Lord, you're the God of all comfort. We know that, Lord. And we know those verses, God, and we claim them this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for giving them to us. Thank you, Lord God, for casting all your care upon you, for you care forth. And we know the truth. We know the truth, Lord. We pray this morning for Brother Don. Pray for Dalton. Pray for the family, Lord, in this time, God. And I just pray, God, you'd be so real to them. I pray it'd be like Brother Robbie. He said, oh, Lord, your grace is sufficient. Lord, I just pray you wrap them up in that comforter, Lord. Just keep them so, give them that peace and comfort and strength that only you can, God. It'd be just so real to them, Lord God. That, Lord, it just engulf them, God. And it'd be, Lord, just God, just you said those that are brokenhearted, you're nigh to them, Lord. Pray you be nigh to them this morning, God. And Lord, we love you, God, and thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord God, because we know what you can do and what you'll do, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ben, I tell you, Brother Ben's been a blessing to me. He's encouraged me a lot. I'm actually doing pop-ups at the fast foods. I'm not a good talker, see. It takes a lot more guts for me. But he come this morning today. He said, I had never officially joined. He asked me a while about joining the church. And like I told Brother Chris, some other, you come, you're a member. As far as I don't worry about that stuff. But he said, I want to come this morning and make it public and official that I love this church and I want to be a member officially of it. So we love you to death,
thank
brother.
You. Doing the speaking thankful. For me.
Well, go ahead. You got something? We're going to ask you to stand up here. You and Brother Don both. I'm going to ask both of you come up here. Brother Don and Dalton, come up here. They would come up here. And I want you to come by and hug their neck and tell them how much you appreciate and love them. I'm going to be praying for them. We got a deacon's meeting right after this, guys. But pray for them. Pray for them. It's going to be some tough days, folks. And we're not kidding ourselves. But God is the God of all comfort. And this church, we want to do what we can to help them. All right. Brother Anthony Zito, dismiss us this morning. Come by and shake their hands and give them a hug, all three of them up here.
Father, thank you.